What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. I've enjoyed many annual meetings here, and I want you all to be praying that when this meeting's over, I can say I enjoyed this one. It's totally different this year. I want to notice with you from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, the subject of the now of yesterday's blessings. The now of yesterday's blessings. You know, each of us are blessed today by much that's gone on before in life. Charlotte and I hadn't been married that long. Three or four or five years, and it seemed like it was the right time to buy a house. So we found the house we wanted to buy. Obviously, we found out you had to have money to buy a house. And so I called the bank. We were living in South Texas, and previous to my marriage, I had lived in Nebraska for about 5-6 years and had done my banking where Dad did his banking. And so I just called the bank and said, we're looking at a house, and you know, it costs so much, and we need so much down. And they said, that'll be fine. Just go ahead and get the papers ready, and we'll give you the money. Now, friends, that's pretty strange. It's very unusual. But I was experiencing present blessings because of yesterday's reputation of my dad. I expect every one of us tonight need to be aware that we're able to sit here in freedom tonight because people have fought and given their lives. The now, right now, you're enjoying yesterday's blessings. There were 6 of us kids, I remember, when we started school. In the school particular where we went, teachers taught, they were just part of the community, it was just wonderful. And I received a lot of blessings because 4 of my siblings had gone before me, you know. So it was the now of blessings that had gone before. You have your own blessings of today that are yours because of yesterday. And the passage before us brings us to mind that we have the blessing of the knowledge of the freedom of the work of Christ. In other words, we have the blessing of the declaration of deliverance from our sin now because of yesterday's work on the cross. We are free today because the price was paid yesterday. Let's read. Book of Colossians, chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. I don't know if you caught it or not, but notice that he says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption. We've got it right now. It is a now blessing because of yesterday's work on the cross. And that's not the only place in Scripture. Friends, this now blessing, this absolute truth, this abiding principle is yours and mine today because of what Christ has done. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more than. Well, how can you read that? Not read the verse before. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's just over and over through the Scriptures. The now blessings because of yesterday's work. The now blessing. Romans 8. Y'all know this one for sure. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So how do you look at your life? I mean, really, how do you assess your blessings? You didn't get the raise, you know, the kids have the sniffles, you've been up all night. The real blessings that are ours are right here. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, when speaking of our blessings, he says at the very outset, and that's what we're attempting to look at tonight. We live, if we're not careful, with all the advertisements and all that's being just pushed on us, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't get that, somebody else is blessed above me, on and on it goes, and I want to wipe your hard drive clean and start over and say, you are now blessed, right now, really, fully, completely, deeply, functionally, emotionally, relationally, blessed if you get the truth of what we're looking at tonight. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so the emphasis of the gospel is that we have present blessings that are so astounding, so amazing, so over the top, exponentially great, that they supersede, they are actually above everything else, so that everything else takes a back seat. So if I pulled the $100 bill I don't have in my pocket and threw it on the floor and threw a penny down beside it, which would you go after? Every trinket you're going after in this world's the penny. And I'm preaching to you tonight about the $100 bill, okay? And so we need to forget the pennies of this world and keep our eyes on what will actually, fully, completely bless us. I don't care the difficulties in relationships. I'm sorry about it. It's difficult. There are problems in families. There are problems at work. There's problems all around us. But comparatively speaking, your problems are, you don't want me to say this, I know they're real. I know they're deep. They bring us to tears. We can't sleep at night. We wake up sick to our stomach and think we've got the flu because they are so weighty. But do you believe Scripture? Do I need to read this to you again? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, if you don't realize it, don't get mad at Christianity and said, God isn't working for me. The problem is that you just haven't got what Christianity is yet. You know, that's the problem. That's your problem. Christianity is super. God is great. Christ saved us from our sins. You just need to get it. You haven't got it yet. Because the passage says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so the transformation that we need in life is not a transformation that we necessarily are going to gain something new. It's the transformation of realizing what we've already got. And we just need to have it sink in more deeply. I don't know what you were thinking tonight about coming to church. I don't know what you were expecting. Several people said I had to yell loud to keep you awake. But really what you need is for the gospel to get in so deep that you realize you're so blessed, you just want to praise God and lift up your heart to Him in song. Well, what are these? What is this specific blessing? We've alluded to it several times. It's the blessing we have in Christ. Let's get back to our text. Verse 14, Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, redemption is a word that means to ransom. It was a particular word used in that day when you paid for the deliverance of a slave. Now, friends, just imagine a slave. Imagine someone that's working without any possibility of any advancement. Imagine someone that's working and he knows all that life has to offer is barely enough to eat every day and just enough clothing to cover his nakedness. Never a new set of clothes just because it looks nice. Never a special dessert just because you'd like it. You are on meager fare, you're a slave. And then suppose that someone comes and pays for your emancipation. And that's exactly what this word has in mind. You are delivered, if you will, the bars are broken, the cage is open, you're set free from the bondage you've been in, and suddenly life is totally different. Totally different. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that Abraham Lincoln went and purchased a slave girl that was on the block. And she asked him after the purchase, what does this mean? Can I say anything I want to say? He said, yeah. She said, can I go anywhere I want to go? Yeah. Can I do anything I want to do? And he said, yes. And she said, I'll go with you. And friends, if you get this emancipation, if you get the freedom that you have in Christ from the penalty of your sins, you'll go with Him. Your problem and my problem of being attracted to the world is the fact we've forgotten we've been emancipated. We've been set free. It comes from two original thoughts in the Greek word. One is from and the other one is to send. It's the very thought from the Old Testament of when they sent those sins away on the animal into the wilderness. And the animal may have been devoured. Who knows what happened to it? It went to take away our sins. And you have been set free from your sin. And part of our difficulty is we don't realize that we need set free from our sins so much nowadays. Because we don't realize the acuteness of our sin. We don't realize the penalty that comes before us for our sin. We're mostly concerned about being delivered perhaps from just the everyday difficulties from sin, but not from the actual standing before God. But now listen real close. Most of our difficulties are the downs we feel, the depression we feel, because we sense we're not right. Something's not right. You see, we're in God's universe. We are His creation. And we wouldn't say it this way in today's world, but this is the way it is. Our sense of, I don't fit in, I can't quite make things work out right, so-and-so doesn't like me, I wish I had this, that, or the other, and it'd make me feel better, and we get it, and it doesn't all work out. That sense of just a removedness, I'm just removed from the good life, the blessed life, the right life. Someday, somewhere, somehow, I'll get it. If I know the right person, if I live the right place, I have the right house, all the stuff we seek after, that feeling, if you boil it down and if you come back away from the falseness of our world, is the actual, whether you realize it or not, it's actually the realization of who you are before God. You can put a fish out of water and the fish may think, The fish may think what I need, you know, is a new scooter to ride on. It may think it really, that's what it needs. But you can believe that's not what it does need. You know, it may think it needs a horn to toot. That's not what it needs. It needs to be in the water, friends. And what God's children need is to be in the blessing of the realization of who they are in the presence of God. We were cast out of the garden. This is who you are, whether you realize it or not. You're a creature of God. And from the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, we were cast out of the garden. And the basic foundational need of your heart is to be back in fellowship with God. Now, this is what we're speaking about. We're enslaved to sin. We are in bondage to sin. We are trying everything in the world to try to make ourselves feel good. And God's provided it for us. I'm telling you, Paul was in bondage to sin. And whether you realize it or not, you, and myself included, we are in bondage to the sin of thinking 1,000 things will satisfy, but they won't. It's Christ alone. Have y'all heard that new song, Brother Sonny? I want us to sing it. I think Bryce has put it to music. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Anyway, it's a super hymn. And it's speaking about what we have in Christ. Listen to this as I read it again, and I hope it has more punch to it than it did just a minute ago. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, suitable, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying you actually have access to the Father. You are suitable to be in his presence, to partake of these great blessings. You've been delivered from these powers, and you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, it's in God's kingdom. It's in God's realm. It's in God's sovereign rule. It's in God being God and we being his servants that are cleansed in the blood of Christ, where joy is found, where blessing is found. And so he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. His blood on the cross absolutely, totally, completely delivered us from separation from God. You're in. You know that's always the problem. You're feeling out. Yeah. Somebody else is in, you know. The better job, you know. They have a better marriage. Their kids do what they're supposed to do. So-and-so's in. I'm always out. No. No. You're in. You're in the greatest blessing the world has ever known. God loved you before time, gave his Son for you at the cross, put his Spirit in you, or you wouldn't even be interested in these things. He's coming for you again. You'll dwell with him forever. There's just a little trickle of time here. And he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, part of the reason we bog down in this so often is, again, we leave it in the past. We think, okay, I'm delivered from hell. Well, that's right. But this passage connects with it the fact that God would not deliver us from the penalty of sin without delivering us from the power of sin. And our ability to go forward and be delivered from the power of sin is, today is the remembrance that we have been delivered past from the penalty of sin. I'm telling you, whether you realize it or not, everything you need to live this life as you're desiring to live it is found in what I'm preaching. Now, I may not be preaching it well enough for you to get it, but that doesn't mean it's not the truth. This is the declaration of God. This is God's word I've been reading to you. Take some of the things that you fear and I fear. We have a neurotic fear of the future. People are talking to me about it all the time. All the time everybody's saying, look what's coming on the earth. All these great problems. And I'll agree with you, they're there. All the time there's jealousy, right? Everybody's saying, you know, somebody has something, somebody else doesn't. Indecisiveness. Oh my goodness, everybody's saying, Brother Dickie, how do you decide the Lord's will? How do you know this job? How do you know that job? How do you know who you're going to marry? How do you know where he's supposed to live? How do you know this? How do you know that? Prejudice. Good night, it's eating us alive. Have you noticed? People are against, you know, the males against the females, you know, the young are against the old against the young, you know, this race against that race, the Democrats against the Republicans. Everybody's got something they're all upset about and thinking, if everybody would be like me, everything would be okay. You say, well, what's that got to do with the gospel? Everything. Because you're looking at pennies when I'm telling you about a $100 bill. Your now blessings are because of what was done on the cross. Christ has delivered you from the penalty of sin, and being in love with him delivers you from all this other riffraff, if you'll allow me to say that. All this other junk, if you'll let me to say that. All this other pollution, if you'll let me to say that. All this other stuff that's bankrupt, if you'll let me to say that. All this other glitter that's nothing but what is going to get you out of the will of God. You have everything in Christ for your soul. He went to the cross. He had you on his heart. If you will, from the Old Testament, you were written on the breastplate. You were jewels on his heart. You were the apple of his eye. You were everything that he was living for and was going to die for. And he said, you're mine. And in that redemption, you're emancipated. You're freed from the penalty of hell. I'm not preaching a gospel that's trying to save, wants to save, hopes to save, might not save. I'm telling you, God's children were saved at the cross through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was deliverance from the penalty of sin. And now we are delivered as well from the power of sin by looking at the fact I'm delivered from the penalty of sin. That's what we need to dwell on. It takes the Spirit of God for us to see our chains taken off by the gospel of truth. It takes the Spirit of God. And it's not going to take so much about us living with strength that we muster up within us. You know, we just go batty. I mean, I'm there all the time, you know. I'm just losing it. I'm falling apart. You know, I don't know how I'm going to face the day. Did you ever think about looking to the Lord? You know? We're so prone not to do that. He loved you with a deeper, broader, more complete, full, abiding, never-ending love than you'll ever imagine. He has provided you with everything. You say, well, look what's going on around us. Friends, you're not God. I hate to tell you that. You want things the way you want them. Well, part of that's a good thing. You want things pure. You want things honest. You want things holy. You want relationships perfect. Sorry, we're in a fallen world. And that's not God's fault. But he decided to do something about it. And so even before time, when he saw a man would sin, he said, I'll send my son. And he'll die on the cross and redeem my own, and I'll take him to glory. You see, it's we're not on God's timetable. Everything you're longing for, everything you're desiring, has actually already been purchased, signed, sealed, delivered, given back to the Father. Justification has been accomplished. And it's awaiting to totally be ours then. And we're down here trying to find justification, deliverance, freedom, you know, be happy in a thousand other things. And it'll never happen. Never happen. It's in the Lord. It's in Christ. We've been delivered. The forces of evil take our lives in all these ways because Satan's really putting one over on us. He's the deceiver. He's the father of lies. And he's all the time painting the pig up with pretty lips and making you think it's something other than it is. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's inconceivable that God would forgive the past and then send us back into a life that's incapable of enjoying and appreciating what's been done. Would you buy something and then never have it delivered? I mean, think about it. I mean, it doesn't make good nonsense. You think God used his son, purchased a redemption on the cross, and then doesn't deliver the goods? He delivers it right into your soul, and he delivers you from the tentacles that are drawing us from the world by the knowledge of who I am in Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm so thrilled when I get a new vehicle. Even one that's just new to me, if it's pretty old, I feel pretty good about it. And for a while, at least, I'm not looking for another new vehicle. You see, the way to triumph over sin long term, right now, the way to live in this world is to remember who you are in Christ and to actually dwell on his love for you until it seeps down deep in your soul. That was the very thought of this book. That this is the very difficulty that Paul was writing about. Were people that were thinking some were into angels, and it is nowadays. Some people think, well, I wonder if I have an angel watching over me. Well, the Bible says you do. But you can dwell on that till the sun goes down, and it's not going to get down in your soul and bless you with deliverance and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were those in this day, we read later in the book. He says, they weren't holding the head, that is Christ, as they needed to hold him where they ought to hold him. And they were following after the rudiments of the world and were subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not. Now, friends, I'm getting older and I don't digest my food as well. You say that, you ought not say that in the pulpit. Well, I'm going to try to make an example. So I've got to be more careful with my diet. But I remember a time when I was careful with my diet because I felt like it made me pure and just a little bit better than the rest of you that, you know, didn't really take care of your body. And you say, well, what's the point of all that? That's exactly what this was. They said, touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, I'm gonna get my kick, my spiritual kick. I'm going to get my deliverance because of things I do. The foundational issue is who you are in Christ. That's the issue. I mean, I'm all about, you know, goodness knows, I'm all about having good health, especially as you get older. You really try to regain it, you know. You've lost it, but you're trying to get it back. But what we actually need to feed the soul, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is not earned. Did you know that? Do you have to be worthy of forgiveness? If you have to be worthy of forgiveness, then you're having to earn your forgiveness. That's where we are. We're all the time trying to earn something. We are forgiven through the blood of Christ. You stand right now, free and clear and not guilty before God. I don't know, somebody ought to shout. I mean, what's with y'all? Somebody ought to clap. Friends, we are free through the blood of Christ. Absolutely. We are set free from the bondage of our sins. God is not against you, he is for you. He gave his son for you. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because of what we have in Christ. We have forgiveness. forgiveness. He emancipated us and forgave us. We're working from a done announcement, not a do and get offer. It's a done deal, not a do and get. So, we've just tried to quickly cover the thought that what took place back then has great ramifications upon us now. Now, this is not an old archaic gospel. The old gray heads can use it, but the young want something new. It's not that. It's universal application to God's children that have a psyche, okay? Have emotions, have difficulties. Here it is. You were created so that your need and my need is our relationship with God. And your relationship with God is cool. It is. It's okay. It's good. You know, you go out to eat. Maybe you're thinking you're going to go Dutch, you know? And then you go up to pay and they say, you're good. You say, but my meal cost. And they say, no, you're good. What are they saying? Somebody else paid for it. You're okay, man. I mean, that's what this is saying. You're good. You're good. You're good in Christ. Your soul needs set free. Every one of you know you're downtrodden, bored, half upset. That's why you bite at your wife. That's why you're upset with your kids. That's why you don't like your boss. That's why he doesn't like you. It's all of this because we're not buying into what's been done for us in Christ. The now blessing of the past. Well, let's just look at several things as we close out here. This blessing was given us because of the Father's desire. We need to remember it was the Father that designed to do this. Now I want you to listen real closely, because what we buy into is we can go to two extremes here. We can say God is a God of wrath and we just dwell on that all of our life and say God's going to get everybody sooner or later. Or we can go over here and say God's lovey-dovey and he just says, I do what you want to do, it's all by grace. Well, two extremes, right? But we find God is a God of love who poured out his wrath on his Son. But it was God the Father that desired to do that for you. You see, I want you to know there's deliverance through Christ, his payment on the cross. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Paul said, the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God, you know, who gave himself for me. Paul says, that's how I'm living. And here's how it came about. God loved you. He wanted you. He desired you. And he did everything to get you. And you're his. I mean, again, friends, I can't get up in the morning thinking about anything else, or I don't want to get up. A lot of mornings I get up and don't want to get up because I'm not thinking about it. But that's what we need to be thinking about. Just listen to these passages. God so loved the world, that's his people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But get the point. God so loved. That was God loving you. When the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4 and 4, God sent forth his Son. Why? Because he loved you, wanted you, desired to have you. That's why. 2 Corinthians 5:18. That's 2 Corinthians 5. Isn't that a dynamite chapter? All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. You're reconciled to God. Here's what we often do as Christians. Now, I know Christians can end up over here where they just think God's a softie, Santa in the sky, you know, he's just a pushover, just do anything, it's okay. No, that's not the truth, we know. But I'm afraid too much of the time we're over here, we're thinking he's against us, he can't be for us, I'm such a sinner, I really mess up, I never go through a day without doing anything right, I'm not growing any, you know, everything I do is just a mess, I can't get it all together. Would you throw that away for me and believe the gospel? Would you just get rid of that thought? You've said you believe the Bible, right? Well, then get rid of that thought. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We might receive the adoption of sons. That was his desire. We'd be adopted into his family. And then hear this passage, 2 Corinthians 5:18. This is the very word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. This is the absolute truth. It stands. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank God that's all I have to do is announce what God did. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God was doing this because he wanted to do it for you. For his glory, we know. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He made him, just listen to these pronouns, he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So why did Christ come? Because the Father sent him. Why did the Father send him? Obviously, it was to bring the Father glory. It was to redeem you for his glory because he loved you. Listen, if today your main reason for reading the Bible is because you want it to teach you, you know, just how to be a good person, you are off track. If the main reason you're reading the Bible is you just want to know morally what you're supposed to, you are off track. If you get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ deep in your soul of who you are and how much you're loved and what he has done for you in setting you free, you will desire to live morally and righteously. And yes, you'll find it in this book. But if you are not majoring on the truths of the gospel, that other, friends, is going to be difficult, hard, impossible, wearisome, and after a while you're going to say, I can't live with this any longer. It's the gospel of Christ. I mean, the Bible says by the law is the knowledge of sin. If all you're doing is trying to live by the law, you're in trouble. But if you live by the gospel, you live by the truth, you live by the proclamation, you come to understanding what was done at the cross because Christ came because the Father sent him. That's what this whole book is about. That's what Moses and Elijah were talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Yeah, they were talking about the death of Christ. That's what the Old Testament types and shadows are about, right? I mean, some of the most profound statements in Scripture are just around this, that God sent his Son to die for us. It wasn't that he was just a supreme example. He is our example, but he's more than an example. He's your Savior that was sent by God. And so Paul says, and let's read this passage again, Colossians 1. And just draw it up together. Giving thanks. I hope you're stirred to give some thanks. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, if you go for a job, you need a resume, right? Your resume into the being a partaker of the inheritance in the presence of God is the righteousness of Christ. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, Satan himself and all of his cohorts, the carnality of our own self, the sin that would come upon us, and the guilt and eternity in hell because of it, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then he says, he's in control of everything. Verse 20, and having, that's a now, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, all things, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes, what are you thinking about yourself? Well, I'm alienated from God. I'm far from God. I'm not good for God. You were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The now blessing of yesterday's work on the cross. Let's dwell on it.